Breakfast with Martin Bester.
So if you were on social media yesterday, you would have seen the video doing the rounds of a photographer, South African photographer, that was captured in Syria. It was about 2 years ago. This is the video. It was a video of him standing with a gunman and making this incredibly emotional and heart-wrenching plea. I think a lot of people probably didn't watch the video, because when the videos, when you get that kind of screenshot on the video, you try and avoid them. But this is literally all that happened in the video that he asked. Listen to this.
My name is Shehnaz Mohammed, a South African photographer. My South African president, my family, my friends, the international community, I need your help in securing my freedom, please. I live in fear of my life. I am scared. We have been bombed. The area that I am in is being bombed by the Russian Air Force. The bombs are getting closer and closer and closer. I need your help. Please help me.
So, I mean, I've never seen anything like this before in my entire life. South African photographer Shehnaz Mohammed captured about 2 years, or just more than 2 years ago, and he's still alive. And in the video, he is there asking for help from South Africa. You feel so helpless when you watch this video. You think to yourself, what is going to happen next? How are we going to help this guy in the year 2019? This shouldn't happen, man. You know what I'm saying? It is crazy. So I decided this morning just to chat to his ex-wife, Shirley. Shirley, thanks for chatting to me. Good morning.
Good morning, Martin.
Firstly, obviously, it must have been a rough couple of years for you and the entire family.
Absolutely. It's been a roller coaster, an absolute nightmare, not knowing what was happening.
I must just say, from the start, we have been asked not to talk around the particulars of the capture or anything that's got to do with him being captured and being in captivity right now. We've been asked, for obvious reasons, for investigative reasons, not to chat about that. So I appreciate and I'm going to respect that. All I want to know from you is the emotional side of things. I mean, how did you take the news initially, and what went through your head?
It was scary, because I thought it was just going to be an ordinary assignment. Shehnaz and I are both journalists, but he's the photojournalist. And I thought he was just going to capture those scenes of suffering in the Syrian camps. And we were both at a course at the market photo workshop in Johannesburg. And he took some leave to go to Syria. So I was on the phone with him when he realized he was going to be detained. And I could sense that urgency, and, you know, that he was terrified. So this whole thing is, you know, I couldn't understand it, and there were no answers, as you can imagine. It was so difficult to get information. And obviously now that with the video, it just puts things in a whole other different level of scariness. Not knowing all of that, sure.
So what happened within the 2 years? I mean, what went through your minds? Did you just give up hope, really, that he's still there?
You know, Martin, being a journalist, you want to know more. And because I was on the phone with him, and he even messaged me to say, if he doesn't contact me at a certain time on the 10th of January in 2017, by a certain time that evening, I must then start looking for help.
Wow.
And that was basically catapulted me into doing what I know. So I was investigating, dealing with people, working with journalists across the world, trying to understand what the political situation was. I must confess, prior to his capture, I hadn't taken a particular interest in that, in what was happening in the Middle East. But then I was just pushed into it. It's been nothing but the past two, it's been really 840 days since he's gone missing.
Sure, and counting the days. Hey? So am I right in saying that when you stopped hearing from him after a certain point, what were your fears?
That he was, because he was, his camera was seen as a weapon or a threat, and that he was going to be maybe killed because he'd taken a photograph. You know, sometimes when we out there with the camera, you would do anything. Even the most sane person would go in and do something that you wouldn't normally do. Take a picture and do everything you can to duck and dive and get that picture. Mm. And I was concerned that he'd done that. But I know that Shiraz is very sensible. He's not impulsive. He thinks things through. So we just simply prayed and hoped that he was going to be okay.
So you being a journalist yourself, what did you try and do to find out more?
I spoke to everybody I could, international organizations, New York Times, all of the those dedicated and celebrated journalists who work in the Middle East. So there's a whole lot of networks that came alive.
So you spoke to other people as well that were there?
Yeah. Government helped me as well. So we brought some of those witnesses came through to South Africa, so I was able to talk to them, and that's how we were able to put a picture together of what was happening. So in essence, what Shiraz is a stock in trade. It's all about human trafficking.
When did you stop hearing from him?
The evening of the 10th. That was the last text via WhatsApp. And during the course of time, through the contacts I made, I received a letter from him. It was also we asked questions because I wasn't sure that I was dealing with the right people. You know, obviously there were demands for ransom and that. Mm. So I would ask the relevant questions, send questions. So the first time I actually got a response back in his own handwriting, questions only he could answer. And then the second time, because of that trust that I developed with negotiators, I was able to get a letter from him in his handwriting.
Okay.
And wish for Eid, yeah.
And tell me something, the first time you heard his voice again or saw him, was that in this video that we saw on social media this weekend?
Yes. Yeah, that was on Thursday night. It was really terrifying.
And when you saw him, what went through your head?
I started crying. I think we were all crying. But it was heartbreaking to see him so scared because he's this big, he's a gentle giant, big guy, and quite bold. I was angry because I felt it was unfair that he was going through this. It was terrifying because we didn't know what happened to him up to that point.
What he's been through.
What he's been through, yeah. I mean, you've got a gun to your head. I mean, he looks big. Shiraz is a big guy, but he's very gentle. And to see him with a gun to his head, and he looks so traumatized and begging somebody to listen to his a call for help. I mean, that's just not fair.
Has he lost weight? I mean, what when you saw him now, what struck you? What was different about him?
Martin, he's lost weight. And he looks well. He looks really fair, which means that I'm assuming he was kept away from the sunlight. But he looks well, just terrified.
Mm. Look, I mean, I can't ask you too much about what's going to happen next. I've been told to stay clear of any of that for obvious reasons. But it's fair to presume that his call for help has been heard by the right people here in South Africa.
Well, it was well overdue and about time.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that this will act as a catalyst for our president to step in and to find out what's going on and try and fast-track the process of him returning home safely.
Well, we will keep our eye on it for sure, and hopefully we can talk again when he is safely back in South Africa. I cannot imagine what you and the family must be going through. It is just an horrific ordeal and the emotions that just came flooding through your minds when you saw this video of this man sitting there with this
you become an emotional bundle, and his mum has not been well, so she also wants his son home, and I mean it's been a long time now, so I would really love everyone all of South Africa to keep prayer for his safe return.
Shirley, thanks for the chat, appreciate it.
You're welcome,
Mark. Thinking of you, cheers, bye. That is Shirley Bridgelal. She is also a journalist, as it turns out. She is Shiraz's ex-wife. But as you can hear, she tried her utmost best to keep contact with him. And then this video emerged on social media yesterday. I know we're running over time with news. But this is a massive story of this guy sitting there with a gunman asking for help from the South African government and president. And it's went viral since then because he has been gone and missing for 2 years. Captured 2 years ago, and the next thing there's this video of him, thank goodness, who's alive. So we'll see what happens next. We'll keep you posted.
Breakfast with Martin Vester.
Elke ochtend is a vrek lekker ochtend.
6 to 9 weekdays on Jacaranda FM.